The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this Sunday, which celebrates the Feast of Christ the King. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Matthew and reflect on the Last Judgment and works of mercy. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
With the coronavirus still with us, many events have been canceled or postponed. But the birth of Jesus will still be celebrated with the 14th annual live nativity production at St. John Paul II High School. You'll want to go this November 29th, 30th, or December 1st. From 6 till 8 each evening, your entire family can drive through this massive event. Enter through the Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School campus, 3114 Saratoga Boulevard. Then continue next door to witness the timeless story of Mary, Joseph, and the birth of Jesus as depicted by over 200 students. Gates will close promptly at 8 o'clock each evening. After all, it is a school night. So plan to get there early. Donations will be accepted as you exit the school grounds. The greatest story ever told comes to life in a big way for the 14th consecutive year at St. John Paul II High School, Sunday, November 29th through Tuesday, December 1st. For complete information, call the school, 361-855-5744.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I am very well, Barbara, and you?
I'm doing good. Well, this is the last Sunday of our liturgical cycle, which means that This is our last gospel from St. Matthew, at least for a while. I'm sure we'll have
That's
some more.
That's correct. We'll finish the A cycle readings today, mm-hmm. and we move into B. It's
right.
Just very logical, ABC. So next, beginning with this Advent, next Sunday, we'll begin the B cycle, which will be the Gospel of Mark.
That's right. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear the Gospel from St. Matthew this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me, naked, and you clothed me, ill, and you cared for me, in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there was a lot in this gospel for us to talk about this morning.
It's probably one of the most stirring gospels, I think, really, to stir us into action in some ways,
yes,
but also to contemplation. I think it has two sides. It's a gospel that should make us contemplate the face of Christ in others, but also to serve him in others. And that's something that perhaps escapes us on the day-to-day basis unless we are very aware. And that's why, you know, with the Word of Life and other initiatives we're taking is to really be aware of the potential that the gospel has to really bring Christ alive in us and in our awareness of his presence in our world today.
And, of course, how interesting that it's talking about doing good works, you know, about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and visiting the prisons. And
right. And I think, you know, the context, of course, of the reading of this gospel today is very important because it's on the feast of Christ the King. And, you know, the opening of the gospel reminds us that when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne and all the nations will be assembled before him. There's so many, defects in the way that we see our faith and the way we see Jesus as kind of just one among many. But
right
here, St. Matthew and the others speak of Jesus as on his throne with all the nations in front of him. It reminded me when I was preparing for this to go back to the first encyclical that St. John Paul II wrote at the beginning of his pontificate. You know, mm-hmm, popes write letters, they write certain things, but when a pope comes out with an encyclical, it's really an official teaching, mm-hmm, of the Church, and the encyclical is entitled The Redeemer of Man. And, of course, those first words are always used as the title, and that's the way he started off. And he really was looking ahead in time in the fact that he was elected, perhaps knowing at 57 when he was elected that he might be there for the great jubilee of 2000. And so he started at the very beginning of his pontificate looking ahead of that we're going to be celebrating 2,000 years of faith, 2,000 years of the Church. The presence of Christ in our world and the presence of the Church, which is his body, which we are again honored to have.
Right.
That is our name, our city, and our diocese. So the opening of that encyclical, he says, the Redeemer of man, Jesus Christ, is the center of the universe and of history. To him go my thoughts and my heart in this solemn moment of the world that the Church and the whole family of present-day humanity are now living. I think that's, you know, again, echoing this gospel today, that Christ is the center of the universe and the center of history. Why? Because he is the incarnate Word of God. He is the pre-existing second person of the Holy Trinity, as we'll hear next week as we talk about the words of the new Mass, of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
Right.
With the creed, he is consubstantial with the Father, not born like anyone else, but consubstantial. He has come to us incarnate, coming in the flesh, God coming in the flesh, to bring us the truth, to bring us the light, to bring us the new order that we all want to share in eternal life. And so for all those reasons, 2,000 years of history reflecting on this person of Jesus Christ, seeing him acting in our world in so many ways, through the lives of saints, through so much action and so much prayer and beauty in the world, that the Pope can come out at the beginning of his pontificate in the late 70s saying, the Redeemer of man, Jesus Christ, is the center of the universe and of history. And that is something, as
wow,
we celebrate this feast of Christ the King, that we should all carry with us today, but really every day, that he is the center of the universe. He is the center of all history. And so he must be the center of our lives. I just remind us also that St. Teresa of Avila, when she would speak about prayer, she would always speak of enthroning the king at the center of our lives, putting him on the throne of our hearts.
Well, that's an interesting concept when you visualize that.
Right, welcoming that king right. into our hearts. And so you think of ourselves as small as we are, as insignificant as we are in front of the Almighty and in front of certainly the world that we live in, but putting him, enthroning him, welcoming him into the center of our being in our heart and our soul and enthroning him there. Once that happens and once that we're able to do that, we use many different words for that, giving our life to Christ, accepting Jesus Christ. However we do that, it's putting him there. And then if that's true, then we echo, we hear the echo of his words day after day. And so today we hear those words, whatever you've done to the least, you have done to me. Whatever you did not do to the least, you did not do to, you refused to do to me. Those are very powerful words coming from the King that lives inside of us and that lives in our world today.
Well, when I hear the words enthroned in the heart, and you have spoken about this so many times, then that means that love needs to be in our hearts.
Yeah.
I mean, we assume that our heart's in love, but if you've enthroned sure. Jesus in our hearts or Christ right. in our hearts, then there's love there.
Right.
With love, you can do everything.
All these things, sure.
Everything.
And that's the point that we need to make today, that all of these works of mercy that we can talk about, they're all expressions of one reality, and that's love. There was someone who wrote once that only Christ can comment on the words of Christ, in the sense that we have to look in the Gospels to really see what Jesus meant, in the sense that what did he mean by whatever you've done to the least you've done to me? And as you said, putting him, enthroning him, welcoming him into our lives is welcoming love, because where do we get the definition of love? It's from the
right.
Scripture, that God right. is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him and her. So enthroning him is abiding, staying with, welcoming into our life the true meaning of love. And again, the present Holy Father has written the encyclicals on love. What is the meaning of love? Is it some mushy little feeling? No, absolutely not. And I think this gospel brings that out. It's not a mushy feeling or a sentiment mm-hmm. of our heart. It's also action, but it has to originate there in the life of Christ in love, because it's he who brings that to fruition in our lives.
Well, it's interesting. On this radio station, I heard just a short little clip that they had about a family having to make a choice to invite three men in. Mm-hmm. And one of them was money, and one of them was success, and one of them was love. And they can only invite one in.
Oh, wow.
And so they discussed, the mom and dad and daughter discussed who they were going to invite in, and they decided to invite in love. Uh-huh. And when they invited in love, all three of them got up. Uh-huh. And they said, "We don't understand." And they said, "When you invite love in, money and success will follow." So, it all comes together.
Sure.
It all comes together. Well, we are going to take a short break, and then we will be right back to continue our conversation on this feast day of Christ the King.
For over 50 years, Catholic Charities, often with the help of various agencies, has provided Christmas food baskets to area families and individuals in need. For most of that time, Toys for Tots has assisted with gifts for needy children in those families. Now through November 25th, Catholic Charities will accept applications from area residents for their legendary Christmas food baskets and toys. Through Toys for Tots, Bishop Mulvey will bless the people and baskets on Tuesday, December 15th, and distribution of the baskets will follow. To register your family, visit the offices of Catholic Charities, 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday. For more updated information, call 361-884-0651 or visit catholiccharities-cc.org. Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, providing help, creating hope.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, kind of as a summary and a clarification, we have the Feast of Christ the King today. And so this is really, we said it was the end of this liturgical cycle, and then we do liturgical cycle B. So this just summarizes everything that we've been talking about from Advent of last year through now.
Right.
And then we start anew next week. So that's why we're celebrating Christ the King today.
Right, to get a full flavor of, you know, this day and this feast day, it really sums up everything. So it goes back where if you travel back to last Advent, which starts tomorrow for the new Advent.
Right.
But we're celebrating in Christ that he was born, that he was incarnate, God who became flesh, that he lived, he spoke, he taught us to forgive, he taught us to settle our disagreements on the way to court before we get to court. I mean, all those things that we've heard. Mm-hmm. He suffered for us, he died for us, he rose from the dead for us, he ascended to the Father, promised to send the Holy Spirit. To us, gave us his body and blood in the Eucharist, his real, true presence to us there, forgave our sins and asked us to continue that ministry of forgiveness, to be his ambassadors. He attended marriages, especially the one that's famous, the marriage of Cana, and did his first miracle there. So all of that we have really meditated upon throughout the year for the other 53 Sundays, you might say, and liturgical seasons of the year, is now summed up in this fact for us to proclaim that he is the King of the universe, Christ the King of heaven, the King of earth, the King of all things, of all people. And that in mind, again, as we were saying before the break, that really sums up everything, but it can't be so grandiose that we forget this gospel.
Right.
He brings it down to daily life and daily instruction. And as Matthew says at the beginning of this part of the 25th chapter, he says, Jesus said to his disciples, meaning he was going to teach them. And he used, and I wouldn't say so much a parable, but it's an instruction.
It was an instruction.
Yeah, it's when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I needed clothing, you gave it to me. When I was in prison, you came to see me, etc. And kind of almost astonished, like, what? When did we see you? You were not in prison. And no, but he said, because of the universal dimension of his presence, by becoming human, one of us, he identified with each one of us. He lives in each one of us. All things, as St. Paul would say, are created through him, in him, and for him. So we too are created in Christ and for Christ, so that whatever you do to the least, you have done to me. That's a profound teaching, which then takes just the spiritual and, or we should say, the works of mercy from being a social outreach to a truly profound value that whatever we've done socially, fed the hungry, gave drink, housing, etc., we've done it to Christ. And that brings about a whole nother dimension of how we assist our brothers and sisters that are in need.
Because Jesus is in every single one of our brothers and
Christ
sisters.
Christ is present. Jesus is present in every person.
Right.
In your husband, in your wife, in your children, in your teacher at school, in your boss, in the person walking the streets, perhaps without a home, in your enemy.
Right,
figure
I know. Sometimes
that.
It's,
go
sometimes
figure
it's hard
that.
To try to see that, but
that's
we
right.
need to step back.
If
and
you
look
forgave
for that.
Your enemy, you forgave me. If you didn't, right. then you refused to forgive me. I think the striking part is what you didn't do. It's like either you actively refused it or you neglected.
Right.
And we see in the Gospels how the Good Samaritan, you know, came, but the others that walked by. For whatever reason, I mean, there were ritual reasons and all sorts of things from the time of Jesus, but it's a neglect that we have. In fact, I think it was St. Augustine who said, when I appear before the throne of God, I don't fear so much what I have done that was wrong, but what I have not done, what I've neglected.
Mm.
And that really wakes us up to how we live our life, not just that I've done some good, but there's probably some things that I have neglected or refused mm-hmm. to do.
And maybe didn't think about until after the fact.
Right.
Well, when I was preparing for this, I was looking in the catechism at something that reflected this gospel, and I found this quote from the Apostle Paul. It came from Corinthians, and it said he gave a depiction of charity.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, charity is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Charity does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things.
Right.
So this can reflect on us, on what we need to do. I mean, he was giving instructions to his disciples, so what are the instructions to us?
Yeah, well, and of course, that particular chapter 13 of the First Corinthians is read so often, many times during a wedding ceremony because, the two in love and, they want to be patient and kind and never jealous or rude to each other, and thank goodness for that. I always want to say to the couples that I prepared, I'd like to talk to you in 20 years and see how it's gone,
Right, exactly.
Because we do. We have to rub shoulders with each other. We live together. But that same spirit that St. Paul speaks of just in the description of love has to be lived out with everyone.
Right.
And I think if you look at just the spiritual works of mercy, in other words, the things that we are called to do, because if we look at those, many of those are reflected in this gospel of what Jesus asks us or uses as an example in reaching out to him. So instructing, parents taking time to instruct the children instead of just, maybe correcting them or whatever they do and then ignoring them, instruct them. Teach me. I think children, they're not saying it, but teach me what's right. Teach me what's wrong. And it's almost as if if a parent neglects that part of their responsibility, at the end Jesus would say, I needed to be instructed and you didn't instruct me. That's
right.
Pretty strong. Or
very
advising
strong.
Me, I needed your advice and you weren't there for me. Or I needed to be consoled and you ignored me. I needed your arms around me to comfort me and you didn't do it. Or I needed to be forgiven and you didn't forgive me. Mm-hmm. Punishment, yes. We all need to be sent to our rooms now and then. But we also need to come back after that just punishment and be forgiven or patiently forbearing with my trials. I remember on the plane a few weeks ago, coming back from the Holy Land with our group that went, a mother with her two boys, and one was just inconsolably crying. But patiently she was there, and of course everybody kind of got involved and
was trying to help,
but patiently forbearing. And it's like she's doing that for Jesus.
Right.
And I used the negative, but also I needed instructions and you instructed me, you helped me, or I needed advice and you were there to tell me, and I needed consoling and you put your arm around me, or I needed forgiveness and you forgave me unreservedly.
And the opposite side of that, because we've all been on planes where they're screaming children, or the mothers that just can't stand it, that don't do anything, or the parents that don't do anything, and the rest of the passengers that don't do anything except grumble.
Yeah.
And turn around.
Right.
So what a beautiful example helping.
Right. But that one situation calls forth from all of us. I needed to be forgiven and you didn't forgive me on the plane because you judged me,
exactly.
Whatever it is. So, but to know that it's the point with all this is that it's Jesus in that person that is calling out to us to minister to him, to serve him in that person. And that puts tolerance on a whole different level, because it's being tolerant with Christ. Or on the corporal works of mercy, things that really are more concrete
in
the
sense
that are in the gospel. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick and the imprisoned, and bury the dead. I mean, those are things that there might be situations in our families or certainly in our society, in our city, that our cities around the diocese, where we see these needs of people actually right in front of us, and we're going to be judged on that. I remember somebody giving a retreat once said to us, if you're in school and you're preparing for an exam, wouldn't it be great if somebody gave you the questions before you went to the exam? And she said, this is one of those moments where Jesus is giving to his disciples and giving to each one of us who are his present-day disciples. He's giving us the questions to the exam, because
sure
this is the scene of the final exam.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying to us, the question is, are you going to feed the hungry? Because I'm in that hungry person. or the thirsty, the naked, the homeless, or the one that needed instruction, or the drug addict, or, you know, all these things that our society, which is so broken and so weak in so many ways, I'm there. A couple of weeks ago, we were at Mother Teresa's shelter, and I think it draws something out of me. I think it should draw something out of all of us, that we're there not because it's just a matter of pity or I can ease my conscience by being there with brothers and sisters that are less fortunate, but you meet Christ there.
And learn so much there.
And you learn, and yes. It draws out of you. And if we as Christians and as Catholics, Catholic Christians in general, if all of us just saw, yes. You know, that with spiritual eyes, that this is Christ who's mm-hmm. coming. I know in that event there were a couple of people that came up to me and just, you know, kind of confided some things. I mean, you really hear that this is Christ who's speaking, yes. Who has needs.
Yes.
Today, mm-hmm. And we're really given not just the opportunity, but the grace to be able to serve.
Right. So we have our instructions, and this is a beautiful way to start Advent
right. Next
week. So, Bishop, if you could give us a prayer and a blessing to end our segment this morning.
Almighty and merciful God, you break the power of evil and make all things new in your Son, Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. May all in heaven and earth acclaim your glory and never cease to praise you. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. Have a safe rest of your weekend and a Thanksgiving week full of many blessings.
Happy Thanksgiving.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.